Support for agricultural information on WILL comes from Busey. With over 145 years of agribusiness experience, Busey offers solutions, resources, and expertise to support local landowners. Busey, your dream, our promise.
From the land of Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the closing market report for the 30th day of September 2014. Happy birthday to my oldest brother, Bill. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Kurt Kimmel. He's at Bates Commodities in Normal, Illinois. Daryl Good will be here. I spoke with him earlier today about this morning's USDA grain stocks report. We'll discuss the weather forecast with Don Day, too. He's at Day Weather in Cheyenne, Wyoming. And hear an update of weekly crop progress numbers from Illinois, Indiana, Iowa, and Minnesota. You'll be surprised by where harvest is in each and every one of those states. We'll do that as we make our way through this Tuesday edition of the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Well, let's check the numbers as they finished up in Chicago for this Tuesday afternoon. Down 5 cents in the nearby corn at $3.20¾. The March at 333.5, 5 lower, and the May at 5 lower as well. 342 was settlement price. July 349.5, down 4.5, and December of next year at 366¾, down 4 cents. The soy complex bean futures 10¼ cents the loss, $9.13¼ the settlement price, and your harvest month November contract. January at 9.21¼, down 11 cents. March at 9.29¾, down 10¾. The May down 10¾ at 9.38. July soybeans 10¼ lower at 9.44½, and the November at 9.37½, down 7 cents for the afternoon. Bean meal at 304.60 in the October, 3.50 lower. Bean oil down 52 cents at 32.27 for the day. Wheat futures finish the July of next year for the soft red at 504.5, down 4, and the Kansas City July at 559¼, down 7½ cents. Live cattle futures now in the October contract at 160¼ cents, down 92½. December at 163.30, $1.17½ lower. The feeder cattle finished the October at 235.17½, up 52½ cents for 100 pounds. November at 234.65, were up 15 cents. October lean hogs at 42½ cents higher, finished 107.75, and December at 94.35, were down 45 cents for the day. You, are, of course, are listening to the Closing Market Report. It does come to you from Illinois Public Media. Find us online at willag.org. That's WILLAG. .org.
Support for WILL Agriculture comes from Murray Wise Associates, LLC, providing nationwide land auctions, farmland sales and management, and financial advice for agribusiness. Information on upcoming land auctions and offerings can be found at murraywiseassociates.com.
Now let's check some of the outside markets at this hour. Crude oil futures for the day at $91.27½, down $3.30. Heating oil or diesel fuel at $2.65 5/10 cents. That's 5 cents lower for the day. And gasoline at $2.43 7/10, down 7 6/10 cents. Natural gas in the November at $4.12½. 3 cents lower on the afternoon. In the outside markets for the Dow Jones Industrial Average, 16,969, one of the last trades, down 11 points. Gold futures at $1,210, about $8.50 lower. And the U.S. dollar now is up 0.339 at 86.055. Here's what the weather forecast looks like as it comes from the National Weather Service for the Urbana-Champaign area today. Partly sunny skies, a high of 69 degrees, a northeast wind at about 8 miles an hour. It'll feel fairly cool out there today, despite the fact that 70 degrees is nearly in the offing tonight. Mostly clear and a low of 49. Wednesday, sunny and 80. Wednesday night, a 40% chance of showers and thunderstorms. Those will come after 1 a.m., mostly cloudy otherwise, in the low around 60 degrees. Thursday, showers and thunderstorms after 1 in the afternoon, cloudy at a high of 80 degrees. And Thursday night, occasional showers and thunderstorms, a low of 57. Chance of rainfall on Thursday evening set at 80%. Friday, a return to sunny skies, at least partly sunny and 67. Friday night, clear and 41 degrees. This is Illinois Public Media.
Agricultural programming on WILL is made possible by Farm Credit Illinois, offering financial products and services specifically for the agriculture industry, including farm real estate and operating loans, crop insurance, and point-of-sale financing, as well as farm cash management solutions.
You're listening to WILL AM 580 and the Will Ag programming from the University of Illinois. I'm U of I Extension's Todd Gleason. It is the 30th day of September, grain stocks report day from the United States Department of Agriculture, the final grain stocks for the 14-15 crop year. And 13-14 crop year, that is. And on the phone line to discuss it, what happened in Chicago, Wayne Nelson of L&M Commodities in Newmarket, Indiana. Good afternoon to you, Wayne.
Good afternoon, Todd.
Well, USDA had some interesting numbers, and I don't know whether it was the extra 50 million bushels in the corn or the 92 million bushel carryout as you look and roll it forward into the world agricultural supply and demand estimates for soybeans, which was more interesting. Which one did you like better?
Well, I don't know whether liking better, but I think it's amazing that we finally broke through the what we considered pipeline. We went under 100 million bushels on the beans. We went down to 92. We knew we were tight at the end of August when we were seeing $4 over at Frankfort, Indiana for beans, but we didn't know we were quite that tight, and it was very amazing. I found it very amazing that they missed 384,000 acres that were harvested in 2013.
Yeah, they did make some changes, didn't they? So they added some crop size, took away some carryout stocks. It was an interesting set of grain stocks reports, at least for the soybeans. However, beans reacted by going lower, and I suppose that has more to do with what's happening in the field today than anything else.
Yeah, I think as we continue to hear reports out of the field, talking to an elevator and Newman there today, they're averaging 70 to 77 bushels on everybody's completed fields and come on in. We're continuing to hear yields in the up, mid-50s to low 70s, all around. And I think that, we're going to see some lower yields as we get into Iowa and some of the places where it was a little overly wet, and probably central Illinois and around that way too, and where it was dry in the northwest corner. But, when you're hearing a lot of them averaging above 65 bushel on quite big numbers of bean acres, the Andersons threw out a 59 bushel average for Illinois on beans. They went up to like 49 on the U.S. average. With that sort of average, it really doesn't matter if we were tight just 3 weeks ago.
We were tight 3 weeks ago, and now we are not going to be, I suppose. How low do you suppose bean futures can go at this time?
Well, that's going to depend a lot on how the farmer moves things and what along the way. But as we're coming in here, it definitely looks like we're going to try that $9. And if we do break through that, then it's a sort of short trip down to 850.
It's a short trip to 850. Are you telling producers just sell it across the scale?
Basically, I think if you don't have it contracted and looking at it here, we're thinking that above $9 now, and if we do take on down there and they feel like they want to own it, I think then a call is going to be a lot better than storing the beans.
How about for corn?
Oh, the corn. I'll tell you what. It looks like we're going to try that. We closed right around that 320 mark today. The close below there projects to that 308 and then the test to $3. It does, and we do have carry in the market here yet. We go out to July, it's 349. If you got on-farm storage, we've been saying all along you need to be selling that July contract against it and put it in your own bins at home. I think last time we talked, I said I didn't really think I'd want to be paying for commercial storage on this corn. I'd rather get rid of it and try to look for a little pop after market, after harvest ends.
Thanks so much.
Thanks, Todd.
Wayne Nelson of L&M Commodities. He's out of Newmarket, Indiana. This is Illinois Public Media. Yesterday afternoon, USDA released the weekly crop progress report. Some interesting numbers from it. 96% of the corn crop has now dented. That's right on target with the 97% for the rolling five-year average. However, corn mature in that category, 60% as of Sunday. compares to the rolling five-year average of 70%, so down 10%. Harvested corn at 12% compared to the rolling five-year average of 23%. The condition of the crop, just like it was the previous week, at 51% good and 23% excellent. 69% of the soybeans are dropping their leaves. That compares to the rolling five-year average nationwide of 71%. 10% of the crop has been harvested. The five-year average is 17%. And it is now said to be in 53% good, 19% excellent condition, compares to 53% good and 18% the previous week. So the soybean crop continues to get better. We'll hear how much better in each of the following states in a moment: Illinois, Iowa, Indiana, and Minnesota.
This is Katie Andel, agricultural statistician for the USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service, Iowa Field Office. Above average temperatures pushed crops towards maturity. There were 5.3 days suitable for field work during the week. 96% of Iowa's corn crop was in or beyond the dent stage, ahead of the previous year but behind the five-year average. Corn mature reached 58%, surpassing last year but still 8 days behind normal. Corn harvest has begun across the state, with 76% of the acreage reported in good to excellent condition. Leaves were turning color on 94% of the soybean crop, equal to the five-year average for this stage for the first time this season. 65% of the soybean acreage was dropping leaves, 3 days behind normal. Soybean harvest was underway, and 74% of the acreage was rated in good to excellent condition. This is Katie Andel reporting from the USDA NAS Iowa Field Office.
This is Mark Schleusener, state statistician for Illinois, with the USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service. Practically zero rain hit the state last week, while the long-term average for this week is 0.78 inches. Corn harvest advanced to 14% complete, compared to 12% 1 year ago and 34% for the five-year average. 80% of acres are now mature, compared to 75% normally. The condition of the crop was rated as 4% of acres are very poor or poor, 13% fair, and 83% are good or excellent. The soybean crop is now 7% harvested, compared to 9% 1 year ago and 13% for the five-year average. 68% of acres are dropping leaves, compared to 62% 1 year ago and 67% normally. The condition of the crop was rated as 5% of acres are very poor or poor, 17% are fair, and 78% are good or excellent. Winter wheat planting has begun and is now 2% complete. That compares to 5% last year at this time and 8% for the five-year average. This has been Mark Schleusener with the Illinois Field Office of the USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service.
This is Dan Loftus, state statistician for the USDA NAS Minnesota Field Office, with the weekly crop progress and condition report for the week ending September 28, 2014. Farmers across Minnesota took advantage of warm and dry conditions to bring the small grain harvest near completion and start the corn and soybean harvests. 45% of the corn crop is now mature, almost a week behind the five-year average. With harvest underway, corn conditions decreased slightly to 69% good to excellent. 73% of the soybean crop was dropping leaves, that's 5 days behind average. Soybean harvest at 10% complete is almost a week behind average. 65% of the crop is in good to excellent condition. Minnesota potato farmers had a productive week and harvest is ahead of average for the first time this season. Dryable bean harvest is at 49%, that's 6 days behind average, with 52% of the dry beans in good to excellent condition. 10% of the sugar beet crop has been harvested, with 72% of the crop in good to excellent condition. For the USDA NAS Minnesota Field Office, this is Dan Loftus.
This is Jessica Klatt with the Great Lakes Regional Office of the National Agricultural Statistics Service. The warm and dry weather this week helped to make the fields accessible for farmers to continue harvesting crops. Average temperatures for the week ranged from 57 to 68 degrees, and from 6 degrees below to 3 degrees above normal. Recorded precipitation ranged from 0 to 0.13 inches, with a statewide average of 0.01 inches. Corn matured is at 66% this week, compared to 63% last year and 67% five-year average. Corn is 11% harvested versus 12% last year and 21% five-year average. Moisture in harvested corn is at 24%, compared to 23% last year. Soybeans dropping leaves is 76% complete, compared to 78% last year and 78% five-year average. Soybean harvest has begun and is 9% complete versus 14% last year and 17% five-year average. Soybeans remain at 14% moisture content in harvested beans, exceeding last year by 1%. Corn and soybean conditions remain constant as they mature and dry down for harvest. Winter wheat planting has begun, and pastures are 68% in good to excellent condition. Other activities for the week included hauling grain and roadside mowing. That concludes this week's Indiana Crop and Weather Report. This is Jessica Klatt reporting.
Our thanks go to the state statisticians from Illinois, Indiana, Iowa, and Minnesota for their weekly updates of the Crop Progress Report. As I promised you earlier in the day, I spoke with U of I ag economist Daryl Good. Here's that interview about this morning's grain stocks report.
Well, in the case of corn, it showed year-ending stocks of about 1.25 billion bushels of corn. That's not drastically different from what the USDA had forecast, but is about 50, 55 million bushels larger than what was in the last WASDE report. And that suggests that feed and residual use of corn was a bit less than the USDA had forecast, both for the summer quarter and therefore for the total year. So it has kind of a double impact on corn. It suggests that the supply of corn available for the new marketing year is about 50 million bushels larger than previously forecast. But then it probably also reduces expectations about feed and residual use of corn in the current marketing year, probably by another 50 million bushels. So on net, it's like changing your ending stocks forecast by about 100 million bushels based on this number. Now, in the case of soybeans, we've got kind of the opposite impact. Year-ending stocks of old crop soybeans estimated at an amazingly small 92 million bushels. We just calculated about 2.6% of consumption, which is a very small year-ending stocks. And that comes even after USDA raised its forecast or estimate of last year's crop by 69 million bushels. So the net impact is you've got 40 million bushels fewer soybeans available for consumption during the current marketing year than we thought we would have based on the previous forecast of September 1 stock. So the market's treated this as kind of another negative blow for the corn market. Bigger supplies, less consumption than was forecast. Soybeans just the opposite. You got 40 million bushels fewer soybeans. That's a bit friendly for the soybean market.
We'll have an update of the world agricultural supply demand estimates in October. And I believe that by law, they'll have to use the numbers that come out of the grain stocks report. So the balance sheets will change.
The balance sheets will change. And as I indicated, I think that means that the only place they can really make the adjustment is on corn is feed and residual use. And they'll have to lower that number for the past marketing year and likely lower their forecast for the current marketing year. Soybeans, it's more of just what happens to the residual. We knew that the June stocks number had signaled something amiss because it implied a very large negative residual use of soybeans this year. So the market anticipated that the USDA would raise their estimate of last year's soybean crop to push residual into a positive territory rather than negative. But the market did not anticipate that stocks at the end of the year would be quite as small as they are.
Interestingly, because of the availability of information, the grain stocks report and then consequently the WASDE numbers in October, at least for the soybeans, should be good numbers and not really change very much by the time we get to the end of the year report in January, the final numbers. But the corn numbers still can move around some more.
Oh, they can. We wouldn't expect anything to change for this past marketing year. Those once we get the October WASDE numbers, those will be pretty well fixed. But there's still room to adjust the forecast for the current marketing year. And certainly we'll be looking forward to those reports. And, you know, as kind of a side note, USDA still has to deal with kind of the acreage side of this year's production estimates. There's still a lot of, I think, disagreement about how USDA might change their estimates of acreage based on the FSA acreage data that we have to date. Some are anticipating that USDA will have to lower their estimates of planted and harvested acres of both corn and soybeans. Others thinking there's just a lag in the FSA numbers that really do not signal a need for a change in the NAS number. So that will be reconciled on October 10th.
Any guesses?
No guesses at this point.
I wondered. I didn't think so. Okay, so let's get down to the brass tacks of what farmers ought to do. You had been, not so long ago, at least on the soybeans, saying for the new crop, when you take it across the scale, and you'll have to forgive me, I don't quite recall all of this, but if you thought that the price of beans was going to be better later in the next year, in 2015, to sell and to actually buy futures back, which is a, I don't think in 20 years that I've ever heard you say such a thing. And then if you were thinking of just selling your beans prior to then, just to sell them across the scale.
Yeah, I mean, we continue to see the price of soybeans remain quite high relative to corn. And given the size of the crop that was being expected, suggested that that some of that price premium would have to give way, that soybeans would have to come back into a more normal relationship with corn prices. We've seen a little bit of that. It's not complete yet, but suggested that with corn prices already pretty low, probably the way that those ratios were going to come back into line was with lower soybean prices, suggesting that even though prices had declined, moving those at harvest time was probably still a better option. But if you were kind of friendly prices, given the small carry in the futures market, it did say ownership was probably cheaper on paper than in the bin, particularly if you had to rent storage space. So that meant selling the crop either on a basis contract or selling the crop in the cash market, and buying futures would be a cheaper way to own the crop, speculating on a higher price. Now, that really hasn't materialized that yet, those higher prices, but the point was not suggesting whether you should be bullish or not, but saying if you are, what's the cheapest way to own the crop?
The bigger question at hand for most producers is store or sell their corn across the scale.
Yeah, on the surface, it seems like a easy decision to at these price levels to say let's put it in the bin and hold on to it as much as we can. The market is paying a decent carry in the market, so that it makes a decision more difficult because you can store and forward price and capture that carry. And we still have the final production, not the final production number, but the October production figure to get through. Many are expecting that to be bigger than the September production number. So in the short run, you don't really see a turnaround in corn prices, that we're probably going to continue to see a lot of pressure on corn prices through the harvest period. And certainly if the production number gets bigger than what we saw in September. But longer term, I think there is still some opportunity for a recovery in cash corn prices as basis improves. If we do get some cut in acreage next year, if we see any kind of problem in the southern hemisphere, if consumption picks up. So there are some opportunities, but at this juncture, it doesn't look like that will be a major rally in prices, maybe enough to certainly recover storage costs. Any more than that, I think, would require a production problem as we move into the new calendar year.
Thank you so much, Darrell.
Thank you.
But of course, Darrell Good, ag economist at the University of Illinois. Back in 2 minutes.
Learnard Seed Service supports agricultural programming on WILL as an additional service to its customers. Learnard Seed Service is an independent dealer providing DeKalb and Asgrow seed products to farmers throughout East Central Illinois via the Asgrow on-demand bulk soybean handling system. Learnard Seed Service, 217-497-2270.
It's National Mulled Cider Day. On this day in agricultural history in 1861, William Wrigley Jr. was born. An American salesman and manufacturer, he started out as a traveling salesman at the age of 13, selling soap for his father's company. At age 30, he left his father's soap factory and moved to Chicago, where he began manufacturing soap and including free baking powder as an incentive. When baking powder proved more popular than soap, he switched to offering baking powder with chewing gum as an incentive. And then you guessed it, the chewing gum proved widely popular, and Wrigley's Chewing Gum was born. In 1958, pie plates being sailed around among employees at the Frisbee Baking Company at Yale University became the inspiration for the WAMO standby. In 1962, the United Farm Workers Union was founded by Cesar Chavez, and in 2004, California Governor Arnold Schwarzenegger signed into law a bill that bans the production and sale of foie gras. And that's this day in agricultural history.
Support for agricultural programs comes from AgriGold and their newest AgriGold Giant 107-day A6408, available for 2014 in Roundup Ready and also VT Triple Pro Rib. More information on A6408, including yield and drydown data, is at AgriGold.com.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. It's a Tuesday afternoon. I'm Todd Gleason. Don Day of Day Weather out of Cheyenne, Wyoming, is with us now to look at the forecast. Don, I woke up to gray skies earlier this morning, though I suspect things will stay open enough for farmers to be in the field for maybe another day and a half or so. What happens then?
Well, after that, we definitely need to be ready for quite a bit of a change. There's a vigorous system that's going to be coming into the Midwest and Corn Belt. We're going to see the first wave of shower and thunderstorm activity developing as we get into overnight tonight and into tomorrow morning across portions of Nebraska, the Dakotas, and Nebraska's eastern plains, into eastern Kansas and Iowa, Missouri. And then we're going to see showers and thunderstorms break out all across the Corn Belt Midwest during the day Friday and into Saturday. Then behind that, you're going to feel a little chill in the air. Some much colder temperatures are going to come in behind this low as we get into the start of the weekend. Now, that colder air will be drier air, and we'll be able to have an opportunity to dry a little bit from this rain, but certainly a shot of wet than a shot of cool.
Is that kind of like it's hot, but it's a dry heat, so it's not so bad? It's cold, but it's...
the precipitation will move along at a fairly good clip. We're not expected to sit over one area, but I tell you, the history of this pattern, at least out west, has been remarkable with rains. There were portions of western Nebraska in the last 2 days that have picked up over 6 inches of rainfall from the system. So it's a wet one. I don't see amounts that is high in the Corn Belt or Midwest, but certainly it's going to get wet.
All right, so our daytime highs are going to be much more like it is today, actually, here. We're all headed to, what, something like 69 or 70, and Saturday's not even going to get that warm. What?
No, not at all. In fact, you could probably take 15 to 20 degrees off some of those high temperatures in some areas by the weekend. Now, we do see by early next week another warm-up, and we do see temperatures moderating some and probably good conditions to get back out into the fields again. But over this next week or so, we're going to get reminders from Mother Nature that seasons are changing.
In fact, it is that time of year, not only here, but in the southern hemisphere as well. And they are moving from colder weather to warmer weather, which means planters should be rolling. What do you see there?
Well, yeah, right now I see planting progress in Brazil being really unimpeded. It looks a little bit on the dry side there. Argentina looks to be the area that's got some rain chances, especially here in the next week.
Okay. Hey, thanks so much. We appreciate you being with us for the day.
Thanks, Todd.
That, of course, is Don Day with Day Weather out of Cheyenne, Wyoming. He joins us here each and every Tuesday afternoon on the Closing Market Report. You can hear us again on our website at willag.org. More importantly, you can see that website on your smartphone, so if you happen to be in the field, it all works really well, too. And if you go there now, you can listen to Daryl Good again. Just scroll down and you'll find a way to listen to what Daryl had to say about the grain stocks report if you missed it during the report this afternoon because you were dumping corn or soybeans or busy. Otherwise, you can always go back and catch that. You can always catch it on my Twitter feed as well. That's at Commodity Week. Again, that's at Commodity Week. One other item, an opportunity for you to come and see all of the analysts. That's November the 24th for our Farm Assets Conference. Call this number now for $25, 800-898-1065. I'm Todd Gleason.